This is Pocket Watching with JT, the call-in financial talk show focused on helping you get your money right. Jason Thornton is a certified financial planner, licensed in both tax and investments. Now, this is not personal financial advice. This is JT's real reaction to all your money and business questions. Are you deep in debt, living paycheck to paycheck, and looking for a way out? Call Pocket Watching with JT, the financial advisor for the people. Need more? Book your personal consultation with my man JT at pocketwatcher.net. Now, let's go pocket watching.
Hey, Pocket Watchers. Welcome to Pocket Watching with JT. Listen, I think we're going to have a good show tonight. But before we get started, big shout out to the nearly 75,000 of you who have already hit the subscribe button. I appreciate it. I've been doing this YouTube thing for about a little over 2 years now, and to have nearly 75,000 of you, I appreciate it. To all of you new viewers, what do we do here at Pocket Watching with JT? Well, I am a certified financial planner. I am a licensed financial advisor that specializes in tax and wealth planning for my clients. I critique bad financial advice online, and I also give you guys an opportunity to call in to the show with your money question, and I'm going to give you the best financial tips that I can, all right? No scammy stuff. I'm not going to teach you how to run a play. I'm not going to teach you how to finesse the bank. I am going to teach you the real stuff that you can do day in, day out. Not fear for your safety or fear that you're going to jail for bank fraud. I'm going to give you the stuff that you can actually use in your everyday life to build wealth, get out of debt, and live a comfortable life. All right. If that's what you like, hit the subscribe button, share this content, hit the like button. All right. So tonight, what are we talking about tonight? Well, if you have been on YouTube for at least today, you should know by now that YouTuber Tasha K, with over 1 million subscribers, who recently lost a defamation lawsuit to hip-hop superstar and reality TV star Cardi B in the amount of around $4 million. Tasha K, as of yesterday, I believe, officially filed for bankruptcy. Now, I'm a busy guy. I wasn't aware of this until you Pocket Watchers hit me up and said, hey, Tasha K filed for bankruptcy. We want to hear your reaction. So this is what it is. Here's my reaction. So this is what we're going to do. The phone lines are open, but before I start taking on callers, we are going to go over, right? We're going to go over the bankruptcy case, the filing of Tasha K's bankruptcy, because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding of exactly what she's filing bankruptcy on, how that works. Is Cardi B ever going to get her money? We're getting a lot of questions like that. So if you've got a question, feel free to call in and I will do the best I can to give you a good answer. But we're going to go over this bankruptcy filing together. All right, we're going to take a look at this. So let me bring this up and we can see exactly, or get a good idea of what's going on. Onto the screen here, we will see Cardi B's filing. This was a recent filing that was made just yesterday. This was filed in the Southern District of Florida, right? Fort Lauderdale Division. All right. Now, this is going to be used as a teachable moment, because I think there's a lot of you out there who may be in a similar situation. You might not have lost a multiple million dollar lawsuit to a hip hop superstar, but there's many of you who are deep in debt, you don't know what to do, and you may be thinking about filing for bankruptcy. So hopefully we will cover some of the topics that will give you some more information on what you should be doing. And if I don't cover it through reviewing this tax, this bankruptcy filing with you. As you can see, feel free to call in. So here we go. Here's the filing. Now, the number one thing that you should notice is the type of bankruptcy she is filing, okay? This is a Chapter 11 bankruptcy. As you see, there are different options of the type of bankruptcy you can file. We see that it could be Chapter 7, Chapter 11, Chapter 12, Chapter 13. She is filing for Chapter 7. So, question you should be asking is, JT, what's the difference? What's the difference between a Chapter 7 and a Chapter 11? All right, so here we go. When we talk about bankruptcy, most people put in their mind a total liquidation bankruptcy. That's the general concept of bankruptcy. But there's generally two types of bankruptcy. There is a liquidation type of bankruptcy. That's the one most people think about. But there is also a reorganization of debt bankruptcy, which you can kind of think of it as a payment plan style of bankruptcy. So let's talk about the differences. Chapter 7 bankruptcy is when you say, listen, I ain't got it. I don't have the money. I owe way more money than I actually have. There is no way that I can ever pay this debt back and also live a comfortable life or even a under comfortable life. There's no way that I can pay you guys back and pay my bills, right? And you file a Chapter 7 when you just say, I ain't got it. And what happens is you have to do a full financial disclosure. You have to show everything that you have, all of your assets, all of the debts. And they take a look and a trustee is going to help make a determination if you can satisfy your debt or you cannot satisfy your debt. And if the trustee in general, if the trustee says and agrees you cannot satisfy your debt, what's going to happen is they're going to take all of your stuff that's not exempt, right? There's certain things you can get exempt from the bankruptcy liquidation. But the things that you can't have exempt, the court will take your stuff, they will sell it, and then they will pass out whatever they make off that sale to the people who you owe money to. Now, after that process is done, even though you may have only paid pennies on the debt that you actually owed, it's over. No one is hounding you about this money anymore. It is over. Now, you are going to have a horrible credit score based on this because, honestly, you should have a horrible credit score if you file for bankruptcy because you just told the court that you don't have the ability to properly manage your debt. And the people who you owed money to, you left them holding the bag, right? Nothing. You owed them probably thousands of dollars. You said, sorry, I know I owe you this money, but I'm not going to pay you back. So your credit score should be horrible. Now, that is total liquidation. That's not what Tasha K filed for. Tasha K filed for the reorganization of debt, Chapter 11. So Chapter 11 is the payment plan type of bankruptcy. What basically happens is you file the bankruptcy and that stops all your creditors from coming after you. It gives you some breathing room. It gives you some time. And it gives you time to come up with a payment plan that will satisfy your debt. Or if it can't satisfy all your debt, then you might have an opportunity to negotiate down, right? Maybe you owe someone $100,000 and you say, listen, with this payment plan, I can probably get you around $85,000, right? Do you agree to that? And if they agree, then the payment plan still works if you don't pay them in full, right? Particularly when it comes to a Chapter 11, right? You're also looking at it as a business, right? You can file it as an individual, but also as a business because you can basically make the claim that your creditors, the people who you owe money to, they are keeping you from being able to properly operate your business so that you can even pay them. So here's an example. Let's say you owe someone thousands or millions of dollars, and they have a levy against your business income. You are expecting $10,000 to get deposited in your business account. But because of this lawsuit and the levy that they have against your account, they're able to take that $10,000 before it gets to you to help satisfy the debt. The issue there is, yes, you do owe them that money. But the problem comes up when, hey, how do you expect me to actually operate my business so that I can actually pay you back the money that I owe you? And that is somewhat reasonable to a court. A court will look at that and say, well, they have a point. They have employees that they have to pay. They have inventory that they have to buy. They have to operate the business. If your creditor continues to take all of the business income that comes into the company before you can actually operate the business, then everybody's going to lose because they won't get their money in full. You won't get your money. You got employees who won't be paid. So in that situation, the court will step in to say, well, we've got to stop. We got to figure out a payment plan that works for everybody. And the payment plan usually takes around like 5 years. I think it's a 5-year window of that payment plan. So that's chapter 11. All right. So we're going to go through this. I see some people on the phone lines. Just hold on a little bit because we're going to go through this bankruptcy filing together. And if you have questions or comments, feel free to call in and we'll go over it. So give me about 15, 20 minutes to go over this bankruptcy filing. So as you see, she is filing for chapter 11. This is reorganization of debt type of bankruptcy, okay? I am going to try to blow past her personal information, like her address, and get to the parts that are more important. All right, so here we go. This page here gives you kind of a summary of her financial situation in a sense. We can see that she has between 1 and 49 people that she owes money to, people slash companies, okay? We can also see that she is saying that all of her assets, meaning all of the things that she owns, she's claiming that the value of all of the things that she owns is between $50,001 and $100,000. Now, don't worry. Later in this filing, we'll get an exact number, but this is just general. Between $50,001 and $100,000. Now, more importantly, we're going to see the range of the money that she owes. She's claiming that she owes between $1 million and $1 and $10 million. And we already know where $4 million of that is really going to, Miss Cardi B. All right, now we're going to get probably in more real numbers. That was just general scope. Let's look at real numbers. Now, right here, it asks the question, does she own any real estate, right? Does she own any property? And the answer that she said was no. Now, if you've been following this story, we kind of know that she did own property in Georgia, but she sold that property, I believe, after the court case where she lost the defamation case to Cardi B. So it looks as if maybe they sold that property and they haven't bought a new property. I mean, a lot of this stuff we have to assume because we're basing it just off what was filed with the court. But based on this answer here, she's saying that, do you own or have any legal or equitable interest in any real estate, building, land, or similar property? She says no. Then it lists the property that she lives at. And I believe that property is a rental property where she claims that she currently stays. Now, here is asking about any other type of personal property like vehicles. And she says that she owns a Chevy Silverado 2021, and that Chevy truck is worth about $46,750. So she's got a truck that's about $46,000. Here it asks about household goods. So you're talking about couches, beds, nightstands. She's saying around $2,750, but you got to remember, she's also saying that this is jointly owned with her spouse. So really only half of it is claimed by her because she is filing independently of her husband. This is not a joint bankruptcy. She is filing on her own, but she's saying all of the furniture that she has is around $2,750. Next, we're talking about electronics. She says she has a computer, she has a camera, and it's around $500. And once again, this is jointly owned property. So really what, 250 of it is hers and the other 250 of it is her husband, we're assuming. And everything else, I mean, a lot of this stuff she's saying, no, she doesn't have no collectibles, no equipment for sports and hobbies, no firearms. Says she has, you know, obviously she has some clothes. She has some kind of high-end clothes. She has, looks like two pairs of Louis Vuitton purses, looks like a Coach bag. She has some shoes, and all together, she's valuing it around $2,500. Honestly, a lot of that stuff is normally, it costs way more than $2,500. I don't know how old it is or whatnot, but $2,500 for Louis, for a couple of purses, Coach bag, brand new. I know it doesn't cost that much, but I don't know how old the stuff is. Then we're talking about jewelry. When we look at her, her wedding band, says about $6,000 between her engagement ring, her wedding band, and some costume jewelry. All together, it's around $6,000. Okay, so that totals to around $11,750. Now, here's the crush. This is what everyone's been joking about, and honestly, I can see why people are joking about it, but just look at the numbers. So we talked about personal assets before. What we just talked about was personal assets. This is real cash. This is a section of the bankruptcy where we're looking at, okay, how much does she have in real cash? And she's claiming that she only has one account, only has one bank account in her name. And that bank account is at Chase Bank. And it has less than $100 in it. It has $95.56. That's when I see that, what comes to my mind is she is carefully placing her money in places where it's protected from her own custody, right? Because there's no way that Tasha K should only have less than $100 to her name alone. But remember, she does have a husband. She also has a business, and she could possibly have various entities like a trust or something where she has money in it. But to herself, it shows $95.56 in total. Okay. All right. So here's another part that I looked at, and I feel like, they should give us more information, or at least when I say us, she should give the bankruptcy court more information. They should be asking questions about this because it says that she has, let me see here, her trademark. So she owns the trademark Unwind with Tasha K. But when we look at, you know, what's the value of this trademark, it says unknown. Well, it can't be, you know, it can't be unknown forever, especially when you're in a bankruptcy situation. You need to put a dollar value to what the trademark to Unwind with Tasha K is. And either the attorney that she's using to file this bankruptcy or her own team needs to come up with an evaluation of what that trademark is worth. If it continues to say unknown all the way through the bankruptcy process, I would be highly surprised. I would imagine that the trustee over this case is going to want to get some definite number as to what this actually is, because it could be a couple $1,000s or it could be a couple of $1,000,000. We got to get an idea of what that trademark is worth, okay? It also shows that she has life insurance. She has the type of life insurance that I do not promote. She has whole life insurance. Now, let me give you an example as to why I don't think whole life insurance is a very good deal for most of the population. You'll see right here. You'll see right here why Pocket Watching with JT is not a fan of whole life insurance. Just look at this policy. It's a whole life insurance policy. The face value of the policy is $250,000. Now, to some of you, you may think $250,000 is a lot of life insurance. It's not. It really isn't, especially when you have an understanding of what her net worth should be as an individual, as a person who has over a million subscribers, a person who has children, a person who also has a husband. She has this big brand, and you're telling me that you have a life insurance policy with $250,000. Now, it's a whole life policy that's supposed to have a cash value, right? But when you look at how much the cash value is, we see that it's zero. This policy has no cash value. So I don't know how long she had this policy, but I can tell you right now, Tasha, if you're watching this, listen, get rid of this policy. This is a horrible policy. It would make more sense for you to simply buy a term policy for a couple million dollars rather than to have this $250,000 cash value whole life insurance policy that has no cash value whatsoever in it. And the $250,000, that doesn't even come close to paying off your debts. Not even close. It's a drop in the bucket. It would make more sense for you to have $3 or $4 million in term. That would at least cover all the debts that you have. So if something, God forbid, was to happen to you untimely, all the debts would at least be paid off and your family can walk away free from the debts and having to deal with the debts with your probate case and all this other stuff. So, I mean, that's just a tip. It's a tip from me. This whole life policy is trash, in my opinion. 100% trash. All right. So as you can see, where it says the dollar value of all of her actual financial instruments, meaning bank accounts, savings account, money market, all of that stuff, total is $95.56. Now, here's the summary of everything, and I think this is important. We can see that most of her assets, the total of her assets, most of it is in the truck. That truck, it makes up most of her value on this piece of paper. In real life, I don't believe that for a second, but on this piece of paper, on this bankruptcy filing, her truck is the most of the value of all the assets that she has. This is a depreciating asset. The ridiculous. The second you buy that truck and you drive off the lot, it goes down in value. And that's the thing that she has most of the value in her assets in. So she has $46,750 in that truck. Household items, personal items, $11,750. Financial assets, which is that bank account, that Chase account, $95.56, for a total of $58,595.56. So she's claiming, based on this filing, that's the value of all the stuff that she has. I'm assuming in her personal name. There's got to be some stuff in other places, but in her personal name, she says, you know, about $60,000. Now, in this filing, there's certain things that you can have exempt. And I'm going to try to pass through this pretty fast, but there's certain things that you can exempt from the bankruptcy filing. And she's saying $5,000 of the truck should be exempt. All of her personal use items, as far as the furniture, that should be exempt. She's saying all of her electronics, which was only $500, that should be exempt. She's also saying $500 worth of the jewelry, her engagement ring, her wedding band, all of that, $500 of that should also be exempt. All right. And then, you know, there's some other stuff, but it's somewhat petty. I really want to get into her creditors. All right. because this is important. This isn't just for Tasha K. This is for you too. I want y'all to see this. Now, I talked about the car, right? I talked about the car and how buying a brand new car is a horrible idea for most of you out there. And I think this is a good example of why buying a brand new car for most of y'all is just silly. Look at this. How much money does she owe on this car? She owes $53,412 on this car. This is a 2021 Chevy Silverado. She owes $53,000 on this truck. It's only worth $46,000. Okay? This is somewhat of a new truck. This is a 2021. She's upside down in the truck. And there's no way she's going to get right side up. Right? Mathematically, I don't see a way that she's going to get right side up on the value of this truck. Listen. I know y'all think I'm corny. I know y'all think, oh, JT, you don't have the swag and all. Listen, I buy cars 3 to 4 years old. I buy my cars 100% in cash. It's been a long time since I've had to pay a car note. I am not upside down in any of the vehicles that I drive, right? This right here, this is a perfect example of buying something that is a depreciating asset. And this depreciating asset makes up most of the assets that you own. It's absolutely ridiculous. You got to get out of the mindset that the car is so important. It's not. As long as the car is clean, that it operates well, you're fine. That's all you need. Why are you going into debt to drive from point A to point B? It does not matter. When you're inside the car, you don't even look, you don't even see the outside when you're in the car driving. So just keep the inside clean. It's just buy your cars in cash. Buy used cars. Don't buy brand new cars unless you can buy that brand new car in cash. All right, just a little bit of advice from the Pocket Watch. All right, we're going to get through this and I'm going straight to the calls. Okay, let's look at the debts. So she's upside down in this car note. That's not good for anybody. If you can't buy the car in cash, I don't think you should be buying the car. All right, now, after the car note, we have the IRS. Now, this is interesting to me. She says that she owes the IRS money, but she doesn't know how much she owes. Now, there could be several reasons why she does not know how much she owes. She could currently be in an audit right now. And when you're in an audit, technically, you don't know what you owe because you're going back and forth with the IRS trying to figure out what the final bill is going to be. I remember when the lead attorney was covering the defamation case, I believe, if I remember correctly, that there were a few years worth of tax returns that were not filed at all. So have the tax returns been filed? Are there what we refer to as substitute for returns? So a substitute for return is when the IRS actually files a tax return for you based on the information they have on file. And then you still have the opportunity to file a tax return to change the number. So she could be going back and forth with the IRS on what she actually owes, but she knows she owes them. She just does not know how much she owes the IRS. Then we have American Express credit card, $6,360. We have an attorney, does not know how much she owes to the attorney. We have a Bank of America credit card, $3,057. You got to buy your stuff in cash. Credit cards is ridiculous to be cut. I mean, the credit cards are like 20%+ interest rate. It's the worst type of debt you can have. I have no idea why you guys love to run out and get all these different credit cards. You claim you're funding your business with these credit cards. The credit cards are killing you guys. I know it because I actually get to see your financial statements. The credit cards are killing y'all. Okay, and here we have, here we have Miss Cardi B, because it's the $3,380,642.28. Okay, that's the big one as we see the judgment. Then we have another attorney, unknown how much the fees are to the attorney. We have a Discover credit card, $5,796. We have another attorney, don't know what the fees are. Now, I believe, like, after I saw so many attorneys where it doesn't know how much the fees are, then it dawned on me, these could be Cardi B's attorneys that she has to pay for. And maybe there's a dispute on what the final bill is for the attorney fees. And that's why she can list that she owes these attorneys. She just doesn't know how much the attorney fees, the final cost is. That could be it, because there's a bunch of attorneys here and she has no idea what the actual balance is. There's another one here. It says $1,700. Doesn't really specify what it is, but it's like it. Some of this stuff is petty. It's not a whole lot of money. Like this one here, that's $206, right? $206 to Penn Credit Corp, which is a credit account. Maybe she's disputing and she doesn't think she really owes this, because honestly, people who carry balances on debt that's like under $500, it's normally there's a dispute. Because if you owe somebody less than $500, why don't you just pay it off? Pay it off and get it over with. Normally, little balances like this is either through neglect, you forgot to pay it, or you're disputing and you don't think you really owe these people money. Here's one for, it looks like professional services for $2,780.04. We have Progressive. I don't know. Is it Progressive Insurance? I'm not sure, but it's $319. This is another petty one. Either she forgot that she owes these people money or she's disputing that she really owes them, because $319 could easily be paid off. What we have here, another attorney. I'm thinking these are Cardi B's attorneys and they haven't finalized what the bill is. All right. And I think that is it. I think that's all the debt that they had on here that she has to pay back. Yeah. There's some other stuff in here where we look at her actual monthly spending. I think that's important. I want to get to that part because you can see how people's budgets are in real life, right? So here's like her monthly spending. This is monthly spending. When we take a look at monthly spending, it looks like either her mortgage or her rent is $5,367. She has like little maintenance and stuff, upkeep. Looks like that's around what? Our homeowner's insurance, that's $150. She has an HOA, it looks like, or condo dues of what, $200. Utilities isn't a whole lot here. Utilities, she has $100 in electric and gas, phone bill $665, internet $99, food and housekeeping supplies $1,900. I mean, it adds up when you look at it. Her monthly expenses, just to be clear, monthly expenses is $22,908.79. That's a lot, man. Just to manage your own household, just for food and upkeep and housing and all that stuff. We're talking about $22,908. That is a lot of money to have to pay every single month. That is a lot of money. All right. So here we go. For the most part, I think that's the most important parts of it. If you have any questions, I'll keep the bankruptcy close to me if you have any other questions about it. So real quick, I'm going to the phone lines. I got a caller from the 425 area code. Then I'm going to a caller from 313. Give me 1 second to bring up the phone calls. And also, we've got almost 600 people on the live. Make sure y'all get the likes up. I'm going to go to a quick commercial and I'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Mike Evans with More Money. Tell me, what do you know about More Money?
Brother, all I know is I was here last night getting my taxes done. And today, there's more money all the way. You know what I'm saying?
And how about you?
In here yesterday, back today to get my check. This More Money stuff is real. I'm More Money for life.
Out of slow money? Well, come to More Money, because we about that.
More Money taxes, and once again, it's on, and I got the hookup.
More Money taxes. Come down and see us, and you'll be glad that you did. At Mo Money Taxes, you're more than just another number. This year, we're offering our 32nd refunds to go along with our next day refunds. Come down and see us, and you'll be glad that you did.
Continuing saga of Mo Money Taxes. Norfolk police are investigating the tax preparer, and they have alerted the IRS about customers' complaints.
Where's my check?
That's the question all of these people want answered.
The IRS is basically verifying to us that our money is here in their bank account.
Friday, crowds gathered at Mo Money Taxes in Norfolk. On Granby Street, owner Mario Brady told us he printed 50 checks and 30 did not clear.
The banks have refused to cash their checks, saying that there is fake. I mean, that is unacceptable.
Federal agents raided the headquarters of Mo Money Taxes in Tennessee this morning.
You may remember 10 on Your Side traveled to Memphis for local Mo Money customers who claimed they didn't receive their refund. We continue to follow another developing story. New tonight, tensions continue to run high as customers wait for their tax returns that they say were not getting from Mo Money Taxes. You can see the level of anger just a few hours ago at this Norfolk location off Brambleton. Angry customers who say they were promised refund checks and didn't get them broke windows, and police were called to break up the angry crowd.
That's just ridiculous.
Marcus Eves, a former customer who says he filed his taxes with Mo Money in 2007, is worried about what we recently uncovered behind this Mo Money Tax Services location on Elvis Presley.
This is wrong for, you know, files to be out here. This is people's personal information that anybody could have come by and gotten.
Investigators are now looking into the discovery of thousands of documents thrown into three dumpsters behind the facility shortly after authorities.
All right. We are back. Listen, we got a question. I'm going to go to the phone lines, but we do got a question in the chat about her expenses. And there's a part that I left out. So the question is, how can she afford $22,000 with $90 in the checking account? Great question. So here's the thing. Her monthly expenses are what they are, but she also includes the fact that she has her husband, who is not a part of the bankruptcy filing. In the bankruptcy filing, it does show her husband's income. And her husband's income is around $20,000 a month. Right. So her husband is the one who's able to make up a big difference of her shortfall when it comes to her expenses. Her husband's bringing in, I believe, $22,835.72 a month. And she's bringing in around $3,320 a month. So her husband, right, her husband is bringing in most of the money in the household to be able to cover those bills. So hopefully that helps answer the question. So here we go. Going to the phone line. We have a caller from the 425 area code. Caller from 425. You're live on the air with Pocket Watching with JT. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, JT? My name's Fred from Virginia.
Yes, sir.
Just to let you know, huge fan of, you know, what you've been doing. Much respect to you. I actually just started watching your videos and your channels maybe about 5 or 6 days ago, man.
Oh, wow.
You're on point. You're calling out a lot of fakes, man. Much respect to you. Straight up. You know what
thank
I'm saying?
You, but, thank
you. Man. Thank you. You put me on game, telling my family and everything about, you know, just the game you're putting out here. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate you catching the fakes, man. But, you know, long story short with me, you know, I'm a recently disabled veteran at 100% permanent total. 33 years old, no kids, no wife. I, you know, I own a condo in Virginia. My mortgage was 842. I was able to get it down to a 561, you know, getting my property taxes waived.
Okay.
And, you know, I just live under my means, keep a low profile. You know what I'm saying? I'm very, very grateful for the life that I have. Mm-hmm. You know, good relationship with my parents and all of that stuff. But, you know, for the past maybe 6 or 7 months, I've been trying to look up. Because I also happen to be working on a Social Security claim with my attorney, which is looking pretty favorable. I've been trying to figure out what is something that a disabled veteran specifically could invest their money in. You know, you read about Roth IRAs using disability income only, you know, and you know specifically, I'm sure you know this already. You know, those are the things where I'm using untaxed income. So what is something that I could legally use untaxed income to invest in without making it look like I'm, you know, money laundering and using drug money or something like that. When it comes to straight up, I've been wondering this for the past week, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm just keeping it a buck.
Okay. All right.
Any game you got, I'm listening. You
know? All right. So first and foremost, I appreciate. Thank you for the service. I ain't had a heart to do. I couldn't go into the military. I'm too. I don't take orders very well. So I appreciate you for your service. So thank you. What I would do, if I'm in your shoes, I would take advantage of the veterans loan, which would give you 100% financing, and I would really try to get more into real estate, right? I mean, as long as you have the other stuff in place, right? If you have the other stuff in place, I would really take a look at trying to expand my real estate portfolio and take advantage of the fact that you can get 100% finance. Now, do I believe you should go into a property with zero down? I don't think so, right? Because you want to make sure that you have a decent down payment just for the fact that you have that equity built in. But because you're going to get a favorable loan, I normally look at, okay, that's a good place to put your money in the long term. Now, there's going to be a real estate crash, right? Especially on the commercial side. So I'm not saying dive into that immediately. I would also say, if you haven't subscribed already, go to Orlando Miner's channel, right? Close friend of mine in real life, not just on YouTube, but Orlando Miner, he has a YouTube channel where he goes into the real estate market. When's a good time to buy? What's a good deal? What's a bad deal? I would definitely subscribe to his channel. But I think that is an advantage, right? So in business school, they always taught us to try to look for what's referred to as a competitive advantage. What can you do better than someone else? Or how can you leverage the rules where you have a competitive advantage against other people? Well, right now, your competitive advantage is you're able to get financing at a better rate than every other person. And you have this passive income coming in to also help you do that. So I feel like that would be a good place. But also, you want to have not just all your money in real estate. You want to make sure that you are building up a diversified portfolio. While you can't use the money for certain retirement accounts, maybe, or maybe you're kind of maxing out that opportunity, you can still open up a brokerage account. It's not like you can't put the money in a brokerage account, and you still get tax favored treatment in the brokerage account. Because while if you put it, let's say if you were to put it in an IRA, well, yeah, you get the tax deduction. Or if you put in a Roth IRA, you get the tax-free growth. But if you put in a brokerage account, you still get the favorable tax treatment of 0, 15, and 20% tax only on the growth when you pull it out. So, I mean, get a certified financial planner in your area, right? Call up a CFP in your area. You can go to CFP.net and just plug in your address and they'll give you all the CFPs in your area. But I would say balance between a brokerage portfolio of, you know, investments and also take a look at real estate. You should be fine as long as you keep your budget in check.
Now, I'm writing this stuff down pretty fast, so I appreciate it. For real.
Now, remember, you can always watch the replay of the video, too. Don't stress yourself out. You just watch the replay of the video. You'll be good. All right, bro? That. All right. Thank you so much for calling in, man.
Sir, I appreciate you.
Have a good one, man. Thank you for your service one more time, man. Thank you. All right, here we go. We got a caller from the 313 area code. Caller from 313. You are live on the air with Pocket Watching with JT. What's going on?
Hey, JT, how's it going?
Good, man. Thanks for calling.
Just wanted to mention something to you. I know that you're always looking out for scammers and everything. Our boy Boyce, I was looking into him the other day, and he had that whole Charles Wu thing. Did you ever hear about that Bitcoin scam teaching class thing that he had going on where he was saying it was 100% Black-owned, but was a Chinese guy behind it all? Did you see that? Or did you hear about that?
I've heard stories about him claiming something was Black owned and there was a, you know, an Asian guy who was basically doing the program or something. I didn't know it was associated with cryptocurrency. I didn't know it was a cryptocurrency thing. But I haven't
to kind of bring it up to you.
So do you have any more info on it? Because I mean, I, like what
I was reading an article on the, I think it's the Groit, about him. So I could send that to you in an email if you want me to.
Absolutely. Send it to pocketwatcherjt@gmail.com. Send it there. I'll be able to get it hopefully in the next couple of days. Maybe over the weekend I can read it and get a little bit more info on it. But yeah, I mean, boy, honestly, I feel like Boyce. Oh, this is a weird thing with Boyce. Let me tell you something about Boyce. He's a weird guy, and this is why I say he's weird. He's commented on a few of my videos, but within like 5 minutes of him commenting, he'll delete the comment, which is the weirdest thing. Like it's almost creep mode. Like he'll comment on a video and then he'll delete the comment. I don't know what he's doing that for.
Does that deter you from making videos about him, or you don't really care?
I don't know. No, not at all. None whatsoever. It's just a weird thing because it's like people who don't know, when you have a YouTube channel, certain things get saved. So he'll write this comment, and I can see like half of the comment. Some of it's cut off. So then when I click it to actually read the full comment, I can't because he deleted it already. That's happened like 2 or 3 times already. It's the weirdest thing. I don't know why he does that. But I mean, if you want to have a conversation, easy, fine, Boyce. Just holler at me. But he understands. I think he understands what my criticisms of him are, and they're not personal. Other people have like personal beefs with him. Mine is more on a on a professional side, where I just say I believe he gives bad personal financial advice. And the reason why I think he gives bad personal financial advice is because honestly, he's unqualified to give personal financial advice. He's a PhD in finance, but what the average person doesn't know, who never studied finance in college, is that they don't teach you to give financial advice when you learn finance. When you learn finance, literally, that's all you learn. You learn what a stock is, what a bond is, how derivatives work. You understand the stock market and how that works and how a company raises funds. And you learn all of that stuff. You don't actually learn how to give people financial advice when you study finance. You actually have to go through a program called financial planning. If you major in financial planning, then you actually know how to give a person advice based on their, you know, particular situation. He's never done that. And I'm not saying, oh, he should. He should do exactly what he's doing. The point that I'm making is, his education and his qualifications, which are high. I mean, the guy has a PhD, but it doesn't mean anything about giving financial advice because he's never studied or practiced how to give financial advice. He's never been a financial advisor. He's never helped individuals or families build up their net worth and manage their money. So I don't understand why he gives financial advice when he's unqualified to do it. Now, if he wants to teach people the basics of finance and, you know, what is a stock and what is a bond, he's overly qualified to teach basic financial literacy. But when it comes to financial advice, he doesn't know what he's doing because he never studied it and he never practiced it. He's never been certified. He's never been licensed. So I don't know why anyone would go to him for financial advice. That's like me going to a doctor to help me with a lawsuit. A doctor is very highly qualified. He's just not qualified in the area that I'm looking for help with. That's all. So there it is. But yeah, thanks for the call. I'll look out for that email. Shoot me that email. Maybe over the weekend, I'll take a look at it. Okay.
Will do. Thank you.
All right, boss. I appreciate it. All right. All right. All right. Let me see if there's any questions in the chat and we will wrap this thing up. Hopefully you guys will have a great holiday weekend. Let me see. Said the black grift is crazy. Who wrote that? But some of y'all do not like Boyce, man. Listen. Anything that I got with Boyce is not personal whatsoever. It's all professional. It's professional. All right, here we go. We got a caller from the 912 area code. Caller from 912. You're live on the air with Pocket Watching with JT. What's going on?
Hi, good evening.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for accepting my call, JT.
Thank you for calling in.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome. I have a car loan.
Okay.
And the balance is like $9,778. I'm paying $552 a month. How would you suggest that I kind of, I really want to hurry up and pay this car loan off. What would be your best suggestion for that?
All right. Well, there's a couple of things I got to know first. Okay. So you got this car loan. What other debt do you have?
Well, just normal stuff, mortgage, car insurance, just regular monthly bills, some.
All right, I'm just talking. Yeah, I'm just talking about debt. So, do you have credit card debt?
Yes.
How much do you have in credit card debt?
Less than $13,000.
you said that real smooth. Less than $13,000. So I have to also assume it's more than $12,000, right?
Well, I'll say 10.
Okay, 10. Well, okay. All right. So we'll settle at 10 because I don't have any numbers in front of me.
Yeah,
so I'm just going to take.
It's kind of like small account. Like.
But all add it all up. Right? You don't have one credit card that's 10, but you got a bunch of little ones that add up to about 10, right?
Correct.
All right. Here's my issue. What's the interest rate on the car that you have, the loan for the car?
You know, I really don't know.
I would guess it's less than 20. Can we agree to that?
Yes.
It's less than 20.
I agree to that.
How much is the interest on these credit cards?
Well, now you know they're high, you know.
I would guess probably over 20.
Because most of them are department store cards.
Listen, I don't care where they are. They can be Macy cards. They can be Home Depot cards. At the end of the day, all of these cards added up together is more than your car note, okay? They're more than your car note, and the interest we can almost guarantee is more than the car note. So I'm with you. I'm happy that you are zealous to get the car note paid off. But personally, just based on the math, it makes more sense for you to focus on the credit cards first. Because the balances are smaller. Let me explain why, though, too, for the other people. The balances are smaller, right? So tell me, off the top of your head, what's the smallest credit card balance that you have?
Like $334.
That's what I thought, because I talked about it with the bankruptcy. There's people who have balances that are less than $500. Here's what I suggest. You need to sit down and write out all your debts, everything that you owe, all right? I don't really care about the mortgage, right? You can put the mortgage off to the side, but I want you to write out all the debts that you owe, especially the credit cards, and I want you to list all the debts that you owe from smallest balance to the largest one, okay? And what I want you to do, I want you to focus on paying off the smaller ones first. The reason why is you need to get momentum and you need to get some wins in your life with paying off debt. It's like it's like anything. It's like playing sports. When you go a long time without winning, the team morale goes down. And I've seen people lose games that they should have won because the team morale is down. When you start to slowly win one game, then you win another game, and you win another game, I've seen teams who were less talented beat teams that were more talented. Why? Because they were real hype. They were excited. They felt good about their opportunities to compete. I want you to feel the same way about paying off your debt. You could probably pay off that car, but it's going to take you a lot longer to pay off that car. And if you go a long time without that win of seeing that balance go to zero, you may lose some of your motivation. I want you to list all of your debts, start off with the littlest one all the way down to the smallest one. I want you to pay the minimum balance on every one of them, other than the smallest one. Because that smallest one, I want you to take every extra dollar that you have in your budget, and I want you to pay that smallest one. You'll probably have that one paid off by this time next month. Now, because that smallest one is gone, you have a little extra room in your budget. Let's say that smallest one, the minimum balance.
This is my budget.
Let's hear it.
Say I'm bringing in at least I'll say $1,800 a week.
Okay.
All right. Normally, I take, like, I work, function out of three different accounts. And I normally take at least $700 out of that $1,800 mm-hmm. and put it in a separate account that I build up to pay my mortgage and to pay my utility bills, you know, the household bills out of that. And then I put the other deposit in another account. And that's what I, you know, do my daily spending, like gas and, you know, what I shop off of.
Okay.
So how much do you think I need to put extra to pay once I make the minimum payments and all the other cards?
Right.
To, you know, the extras too. Because what I did was I kind of, I'm an impulse spender at times.
Right.
So I've noticed that about myself. So I'm trying to limit that. And I've done a great job of limiting that impulse spending.
Yeah.
And just go and get what I want to get out the store and get out. Because I love Target. Target is my store. I love Target.
Yeah, you love Target, but Target doesn't love you. Here's the issue. The reason why you do so much impulse buying is because you don't have a budget. See, when you have a budget does not only keep track of your needs, right? You know how much your mortgage is. You know how much your car note is. You know, no, a budget is supposed to account for every dollar you make. So you make around $7,200 a month. You should have a budget that tells you exactly where that $7,200 is going to go. Every penny. So you'll say $300 is for fun, right? This much money is going to the car note. You should have every single dollar accounted for. And if you have every single dollar accounted for, you won't have the spending splurges that you do. The problem is the money just goes wherever you feel like it should go. Because you don't have a plan. You have to have a plan for your money. And right now, the plan for your money needs to be paying off the credit cards.
Okay, and I have a child that's in college.
Okay.
So I get hit up, well, Mom, send me $100. Mom, send me this. Mom,
tell him to suck it up. No. Tell him to suck it up. What do you need money for? What's he need money for?
You know how kids are in college. They need spending money.
No, they don't. No. They want spending money. They don't need. I was in college. I never needed spending money. I always wanted spending money because the calf was a part of my meal plan. So I had three meals a day, maybe four, right? I have a roof over my head. I'm not paying rent because I stayed on campus, right? So they don't need money. They want the money. Don't allow their wants to put you in a financial bind. You need to pay off the credit cards more than that college student needs money. They only want it. They need to slowly start to understand that they are putting themselves in a position to be an adult. If you continue to baby them, you're going to continue to hurt financially. Not like you're broke. I'm not calling you broke. But what I'm saying is, you have debt that you shouldn't have. The $200 or $300 that you sent to your college student should have paid off that credit card. Until your credit card debt is paid off, you don't need to be spending or sending this college student any money unless it's a need. See, if they have a need, give them the money. But ask yourself, do they really have a need or do they have a want? Now, I got to go to the next caller because I'm not staying on all night. But what I suggest that you do, this is what I suggest that you do. Go to my website, go to pocketwatcher.net. I have a free, once again, free, F-R-E-E, a free course on how to properly manage your money and how you can get out of debt. Go to pocketwatcher.net. I have all my links. Go to the link that says Pocket Watcher Academy. Enroll into the course. It does not take a whole lot of time. It's absolutely free, but it's a course where I show you step by step the best ways based on my experiences being a certified financial planner and working with clients for years, helping them manage their money, the best ways to help you get out of debt. Okay, go to pocketwatcher.net, click the Pocket Watcher Academy link, enroll, and that should give you more than enough information you need of the best way to get out of debt. All right, I got a couple more callers, then I got to wrap it up. I'm not here all night. So here we go. We got caller from the 313 area code. Caller from 313. You're live on the air with Pocket Watching with JT. What's going on?
Hello. It's wonderful to talk to you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
I have a question about whole life insurance, and it just came up only because I saw your comment about Tasha K. So I'm working with it. I'm just started.
I got to get ready for it. The whole life questions are always, they're always fun. Go right ahead.
Okay. And you know, and so I've always heard that you should never get whole life insurance policies, mm-hmm. only get term, but I'm working with a financial advisor, mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, I'm 53, that mm-hmm. I need,
long-term
care insurance. That's something I should start looking into. Mm-hmm. And so she said they don't sell, for the most part, long-term care insurance policies anymore. Those policies are wrapped up in a whole life insurance policy.
So
I would have to get a whole life insurance policy in order to have long-term care insurance. And at my age, I would have to pay, I could pay $800, you know, until the day I die, or I could pay $1,000 for the next 20 years.
Are you talking about a month?
Yes.
$800 a month?
Yes. Or I could pay $1,000 for the next 20 years. And it has a payout like $450,000 for this if something, you know, when I pass away. And my problem is I don't have any children.
Right.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, I know no one, you know, there's no need for a big payout when I die. You know,
there's no need to spend some
money and put me in the ground, sprinkle me, you know, cremate me and sprinkle me in the forest somewhere. I don't need that. And I just thought that was a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
She said that's what she said she had it herself. She said you can borrow against it. And I just, you know, it just seems like it's a whole lot of money for a whole life policy that I don't need because no one, you know, it's not like I'm going to shower my kids with all this money.
No one's depending on that money. And I can tell you right now, if you want to leave your children a whole lot of money and you've got $800 a month or $1,000 a month to do it, you'd be better off just putting that money into an S&P 500 account, you know, a brokerage account with S&P 500 over the next 20 years, and you'd end up with more money than what this insurance policy claims that it's going to pay off. So a couple of things. When you said that this financial advisor says that they don't sell long-term care insurance by itself, they only sell it wrapped up inside of a whole life policy, what she's mean is her company, the company that she works for, the company where she makes a commission when she sells this crap to you. Now, when you say that she's a financial advisor, I scratch my head and I ask myself, is she really a financial advisor or is she an insurance saleswoman? Now, I have no
fiduciary. That's what she said.
Okay. I question that, but let's say she is. She's a fiduciary. Is she a certified financial planner?
I believe so. I have to check that out.
I double check. Regardless, if she's saying that that's the only thing that she can give you, I would not work with that person. They are locked in and limited to the financial solutions that they can offer you as an advisor, because they can only offer the stuff that their company has to sell you. And the stuff that their company has to sell you, based on what you're telling me, is crap. It's BS that you already know you don't need. So I wouldn't even go back to her anyway, because she, even if she was a certified financial planner, even if she's sworn to the fiduciary of responsibility, she still is limited to what she can offer you as a solution based on her crappy company that she works for. What you should do is just leverage technology. Go online, look and try to find a long-term care insurance policy by itself online. And I bet you a bunch of stuff will pop up and you can buy it separate from having it bundled in with a crappy cash value insurance policy. So I honestly wouldn't even go back to her because one, she's offering you something that you know you don't need, nor do you want. She has no ability to give you what you want. She's pushing it on you and trying to make it look and sound better, even though you're clearly saying you don't want it. She's not listening to you.
It doesn't make sense.
I'm gonna get on my high horse for a second. Financial advisors in the past, in the early stages, it was a sales-oriented profession. Okay, it was about sales. It wasn't until around 1969 when 13 men met in Chicago and they came up with this bright idea of creating a profession where they didn't just sell people stuff, they actually provided a service of looking at what they needed in their financial life and giving them advice to help them meet their long-term goals. And out of that meeting came a college called the College for Financial Planning. And out of that college came the Certified Financial Planner certification. And then many other colleges were brought in under the fold to teach financial planning as a subject matter for financial planners to learn how to not sell, but to give people financial advice. Then you take the CFP exam, you become a CFP. We should be sworn to give a service. If the client doesn't understand the product, if the client is saying that they don't want the whole life insurance, they just want the long-term care, then she should advise you where you can go. Even if she can't sell it to you, she should advise you where you can go to get what you need. So I wouldn't go back to her. I wouldn't go back to her. I'd go online and I'd look for a long-term care insurance policy by itself.
Okay, because I was just talking to her. Well, and her feedback was that they don't sell them that way anymore.
They do.
There's been a lot her of company. Change in the industry.
Her company does not, period. They do sell long-term care.
You are a wealth of information.
Yeah, well, this is all I know. If you call me asking me about how a car works, I'd have no answer for you. This is what I dedicated my life to. This is all I know. So yeah, go with somebody else. Just go online and I bet you find a policy that's affordable and it makes sense for you, okay?
I appreciate you.
All right, you have a great night. Thank you for calling in. All right, here we go. We got a caller from the 586 area code. Caller from 586. You are live on the air with Pocket Watching with JT. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing this evening, JT?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for calling in.
Good, good. I'm a first-time listener. Actually, my first time, excuse me, I lost my voice. My first time listening was actually the other night with the Surviving JT with you and Officer E.
Yeah, listen, man, we got some more stuff coming together. I was supposed to talk to Eli today. I got a plan, try to get him on the show maybe this weekend. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed if his schedule allows. I'm going to try to get Eli from What Happened to Common Sense. If you guys are not subscribed to Eli from What Happened to Common Sense, moderators, please put his info in the chat. Y'all got to subscribe to Eli. But yeah, hopefully I can get him on the show. I got a show that I want to do this weekend with him. So what's going on, man? Hopefully I can help you out. What's your question?
Oh, JT, I actually just wanted to share my story with you tonight if I can.
Go right ahead.
All right. So they actually, Jay and Dr. Boyce actually got me at the same time. Because I was watching Dr. Boyce, excuse me. Mm-hmm. And they were on at the same time interviewing them. They got to talking about generational wealth and the whole real estate thing. And I said, okay, you know, I'm actually in my grandparents' home. My wife and I bought my grandparents' home. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, that's great. I already got that.
Right.
And then, you know, it was around the pandemic time. The money was coming in. I'm like, okay, so maybe I can take what Jay is saying. I can rehab my home. I can flip this, and then I can use my military, my VA home loan, and, you know, purchase another home, you know. JT, I got the peeling back the layers of that house. It was built in 1921, something like that. So I got the peeling back the layers of that house, and I was like, I spent more money than I didn't even get. None of that worked. None of it. And my wife looked at me. She said, "You done yet?" I said, "Okay, yeah, we can move now."
So I called,
I called the bank. So I called the bank, sat down with a real financial advisor. Mm-hmm. We went over, you know, what was left.
Right.
Managed to work out something with a mortgage broker. Got a nice little home with a beautiful interest rate. Got us an interest rate about 2.3, 2.4.
Nice.
And I didn't look back.
Yeah. Yeah. See, well, one, congratulations, you got out of that mess. What that story tells to me is when you see these guys, Boyce, Jay, anybody on like EYL or Social Pool, they tell you the exciting wins, right? They tell you about all the good things that could happen if you follow their advice or if you run the play, right? They'll tell you all the good stuff. They don't tell you about the bad stuff. And with life, naturally, when people are trying to do stuff like this, more people lose than win. And they don't explain all the downsides. They don't talk about all of the things you need to look out for. You have to look before you jump. They just tell you to jump. I did it. It worked out for me. This is how I did this. But they don't tell you about all of the misses, all of the things and the mistakes that they made. You have to experience that on your own, and you're left in a mess. But thank God you were able to get out of it. But yeah, they're like that. Those guys are clowns, man. Yeah. It's all entertainment with no education. And it's okay to marry the two, but I feel as if it's all flash. They're trying to convince you of some sort of expertise that they have based on material things that they show you on the screen. They're not really breaking down the numbers and walking you through and giving you the warnings of, hey, this is what should happen and what's going to happen and what you need to look out for.
Yeah, that affinity fraud is real, JT.
Yes, absolutely, bro. Thank you for calling in, man. I appreciate hearing the story because other people got to hear this. Because honestly, when they hear it from you, hopefully that keeps them from going down the same track, watching somebody online, someone who says that they're here for you, but really they just want to sell you a course or a mastermind or some sort of millionaire boot camp. And at the end of the day, they're not providing any real value. I mean, if they were, just think for a second. I'm going to let you go after this. Just think for a second. How many fake gurus do we have? How many people are on the stage at InvestFest? How many people are out there?
Man.
If only 10% of them actually did what they said that they did, we would see a total turnaround in the financial situation in our communities. If only 10% of them did what they claimed that they did, because they all say, I helped this many people make $1 million. I did this. If only 10% of them was real, you'd see a difference. But when you look around the Black community, are you actually going to the government stats on what happens in wealth in our community over the past 5 years? It's actually going trending down, not up. So obviously, it looks like these guys are liars because the numbers say it's going this way while they're saying they're helping everyone go that way. Clearly somebody's lying. So it's ridiculous. But bro, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it. Last caller of the night, we got a caller from the 973 area code. Caller from 973 live on the air with Pocket Watching with JT. What's going on?
What's going on, JT? It's your boy House from Jersey, man. What's up?
It's been a minute, man. Where you been?
Man, I've been trying to clear up this debt, man. That's what I've been trying to do. But, you know, I heard these people say my favorite two names, man. Uh-huh. Moist Hawkins, and I could have swore I heard somebody bring up that damn Jay Morrison, too.
Yep.
You know, so I had to call, man. So I actually got the lowdown on what buddy was just trying to send you an email about, because I was one of the ones who bought into that. It was a cryptocurrency school or whatever, and they were telling you what cryptocurrencies to pick. Now, the guy, Charles Wu, okay, he got caught on a hot mic saying that they are in the business of selling dreams to Black folks. That's what he actually said on the mic. And that's why everybody got pissed off about Boyce Watkins and all that other stuff, you know? So, yeah, I was one of the ones who got all excited, didn't know what the hell I was doing, and bought into the cryptocurrency thing. Needless to say, I didn't make any goddamn money, you know?
Let's break this down. What the hell does Boyce Watkins know about cryptocurrency? Or how did he even present the topic as if he had any authority in it?
Okay, so he wasn't the one actually teaching the cryptocurrency. It was Charles Wu, and it had a couple of other supposed to be experts teaching the cryptocurrency. They wasn't even really teaching. They were saying, buy this and buy that and buy that. They wasn't really teaching anything. They wasn't doing what Eli would do in his school or something like
they
that.
They were specifically telling you which cryptocurrencies to buy.
They had a whole list on their site saying, buy these cryptocurrencies. It was a whole list, okay? And people were buying them up. I mean, one of them actually did do some good, because I'm lying, I did make a little bit of money off of OMG when I sold it. So that you know, but the amount of money that they made from that course, I mean, the discount to get in the course was $500, and they were selling the course for $3,000. You know, so of course I waited for the discount, but I didn't make my $500 back, you know? So it's crazy. It's crazy, man. You know, so I mean, it should be a big ass beware sign on all of these blackity black back to Africa. Let's bring our community finances up, you know, because just like you said, if 10% did what they did, you know, we'll see something different, and we don't see that. You know, and your boy Jay Morrison is back out here talking about how you can finance a company off your credit, off these high-ass interest loans, you know. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, JT. Interest rates didn't go down. They only went up, right?
They've gone up! They shot up! He's telling people to finance their business off of credit cards.
And he's talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I'm sitting here like, and I was reading the comments, and these people was like, oh, thank you. I was able to pay my bills. And I'm like, well, you couldn't pay your bills before this. What's going to happen when that money runs out?
When the money runs out, because the debt just goes
plus
up.
Your bills. JT, man, these people, man, it's crazy. It's crazy. And just one last thing before I get off, because I know you said you ain't want to go all night. So the lady with the whole life insurance. JT got a whole, I think it's an 8-minute video of me breaking down my whole life insurance story.
I added that video in my course. So if anybody, you could go to pocketwatcher.net, click the Pocket Watcher Academy. I go through a whole thing of how to go from being in debt and getting out of debt. It's a whole course. Then there is a bonus section of different videos that I think are helpful. And the video this brother's talking about is now in that course. You can go directly to the course and you can watch that video. It's all in one place. But yeah, I almost forgot that. Yeah.
Go ahead and watch that video. $5,000 and my policy didn't accumulate 1 cent in value. So, you know, the hell with that whole life stuff. Anyway, JT, man, you know. I'm gonna be calming, you know. I just had to take a little break and everything like that, you know. But I'm back on. Listen, I got my alerts on, so I'm catching you.
I appreciate it, man. I love it every time you call in, because really, I think people really learn real financial life when you call in. So I appreciate it, brother. I'll be waiting for you to call in next time, man. You have a great weekend. All right, people, that's it. We're wrapping it up. I guess I will either see you guys this weekend. If I can get this special show on Sunday popping off, if not, I'll catch you guys next Friday. Listen, if you've got money questions, hopefully I can help you out with some money answers. I'm not going to give you the slick answer. I'm not going to teach you how to run the play. I'm not here to teach you how to finesse a bank and end up getting caught up with bank fraud. I'm going to teach you the real ways that you can build wealth, not go to jail, right? But it's going to take discipline. If you think that you can ball out of control, throw money in the air like you don't care, right? Parking lot pimp in an expensive car that's like 50% of your take-home pay is going towards your car, you're not going to build wealth. If you got some discipline and you got good work ethic, you can become a millionaire. Not when you're 21 or 35, but if you slowly build, make sure you get a high-paying skill or maybe start a sustainable business, you can be in the middle class in the United States, period. And I challenge anyone on that topic. All right, guys, y'all have a great night. Pocket Watcher is out. I will catch you guys next week. Hold on real quick. I'm going to see if I missed any super chats. Hold on. I got to give credit where credit is due. I think I saw a super chat in there. Give me 1 second. Yes, I did. I saw Take Over TVENT. I know I saw this. It says, our guy, keep up the good work. Can't wait for our epic interview. Email me, man. I'm looking for that email so we can set it up. Take Over TV. I appreciate it. JT, the people's champ. All right, guys, I'm out of here. Y'all have a great weekend, and I will catch you guys hopefully very soon.